Welcome to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
I do not care how many times that man says it, it is absolutely true.
It is correct.
Welcome to it.
Beyond dispute.
Yeah, indeed. Welcome to another edition of Emil Franzink's Voices of the West. I'm Harry Alexander, Bunker de France across the way, and
No, you're not.
Huh?
You said bunker across the way. I said, no, you're not.
Okay.
I am.
Oh, you are. Yes, indeed. And way across on the left coast, it's our good friend, Todd Roberts. Howdy, sir.
Gentlemen, it is so good to be with you both today.
I know.
As we embark upon another festival of hyperbole and bullshit. And I look forward to it.
All I can say is, for our man west of the Mojave, welcome aboard.
We should change the name to what Todd just suggested, hyperbole and bullshit.
H&B. Yeah. Welcome to H&B.
H&B. Anyway, hey, for those of you who may not have noticed or found out, we did do a Voices of the West program on... substituting for Bruce Ash and Eb Wilkinson's on Inside Track this past Wednesday. You can find it if you go to Live the Dream Media, and you can find it there. You may even have to download the app. Big deal. It's good content. So anyway, Live the Dream Media, and you can find us on the YouTube and maybe TikTok or any of those other things.
Inside the Voices of the West track.
But no Facebook. And I'm going to tell you why there is no Facebook, ladies and gentlemen. Because this man is absolutely pissed. I have posted on our voicesofthewest.net website, says, where has our Facebook gone? We have been notified that Voices of the West has had its Facebook account permanently disabled. Why? We don't know. FB is never straight with its customers. All the company says is that there's been a violation of its terms and conditions, but which one or ones is never clear. We don't even have the opportunity to go to FB court to learn more or even appeal their decision. Just, you're out of here, and don't let the barn door hit you on the backside on your way out. So thank you to all of our former FB friends for your support, and to FB and Meta, go pound sand. And I signed it, Harry Alexander, 516 of 26. I am so pissed about that. It's like, stupid.
It's like YouTube. They're so autonomous, and you have no recourse unless you want, I guess, hire $1,000 a day attorney.
I don't know. Here's what happened. I responded to an email from Meta that asked me if I wanted to get involved in a business partnership. Sure. So I followed the link. I answered the questions. The next day I get notice, your FB page has been permanently disabled. Yeah, well, bite me.
You know, and if my confused thinking said it has to not do with you, but who you applied to,
I don't know.
Sticking back to you because you applied.
I truly don't know, and I truly don't care.
I do.
FB, go pound sand, man. We don't need you. You need us.
No,
we don't need you.
They don't need us. They don't need anybody.
They need us.
They're autonomous. They have no...
But anyway, I digress.
Don't get me riled up.
I'm already riled.
Yeah,
the subject
riled
of today's
up.
Program is being pissy against Facebook. And, okay, we don't really have a topic for today, folks.
Nada for nada. Nothing for nothing, Facebook.
That's right. But we do want to tell you to check out Live the Dream Media and check out their app. And find our program that we did on Wednesday. It's video, amazingly
you
enough.
You can see us.
I know.
That's your one reason to stay away.
And we did comedic westerns. And
we could rehash some of that.
Well, we could, but we had a ball doing those.
Yeah.
That was.
It took us what, half an hour to get into the topic.
I know. It was just that much fun.
Yeah.
Anywho, here we are. It's a Saturday.
Yeah.
Of what is it, 16 of May?
16 of May.
And
half of May.
I'll bet you have some information that you want to share with us.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, I do. Coming to you from Bunker's Bunkhouse is the good, the bad, and the bovine. And it just made me think that maybe the bovine is what got us kicked off the air. The bovine, excuse me. Profane bovine. But what I do is I start with today, which is the 16th, 2026, but I go back 3 days in time, include today, and go 3 days forward into time.
And but, include today.
But, I don't, do, but I don't do anything about today, because today, when I do it, will be in the past and not in today.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm confused.
Well, that's the whole idea. History should be confusing.
And it sure is for a lot of people.
Well, you know, this is the thing. You know, I really get a kick out of doing this because there is just, our history is so rich, it's so deep, and it's so hidden and buried.
And convoluted.
But, you know, it's like, you know, kids today don't even know the obvious history that we were taught in school. You know, they don't know, they can't name the first president of the United States. They can't tell you who the present president is.
I'll tell you what, I did a talk at a public high school in Key West years and years ago. And it was a talk about the Civil War, and I talked about Lincoln being on the penny. And they had no idea
what a penny was,
or that Lincoln was in fact on the penny.
Yeah.
I went to the Catholic school, did the same presentation. They were asking me questions I could not answer.
Yeah, well, that's the Jesuits and the nuns.
Here you go.
And you know, the most important part of Catholic education, the ruler.
And the
word under the roof.
And the penguins.
And the penguins. Oh, man.
Go for it, Bunker.
Okay. Anyhow, okay, we're going to get started here. And we're going to start with the 13th of May, 1914. That's pretty modern for me.
Yep.
But this is because this guy is one of the most respected men I ever, I used to listen to him on the radio. Actually, I didn't listen to him. I listened to him box. The gentleman was Joe Louis Burrow, the Brown Bomber.
Oh, yeah.
Boxer.
Competed, my father's favorite boxer.
Yeah.
Oh, the greatest. He competed from 1934 to 1951. He is regarded as one of the greatest and most influential fighters of all time.
You bet.
World heavyweight champion from 1937 to 1948. 25 consecutive title defenses, a record for all weight divisions, longest single reign as champion of any boxer in history. And that's going back to when it was a square ring in England and they boxed for 150 rounds.
And that was, who were the rules? What were the rules?
Marcus of Queensberry.
Yeah, Queensberry rules, yeah.
Yeah. You come to the square.
Yep.
Anyhow, we're going to move up. Actually, we're going to move further back in history for the 14th of May. And the first member of the U.S. Camel Corps arrives in Texas by boat from the Middle East with 34 dromedaries in all. A dromedaries, in case you don't know, is
that's one hump or two.
That depends on whether you like the coffee sweet or sweeter. And the military had high hopes for their use in the desert Southwest.
They did.
The 10-year experiment was a failure.
Big time.
And, you know, just if you guys want to comment on these.
They had the Buffalo soldiers were tasked with trying to get the camels to do what they were supposed to do in some parts of the Old West here.
Mm-hmm.
But it failed miserably.
Well, you know, the gentleman that came over with them from the Middle East was a guy named High Jolly. What a great name to start with anyway. I think they probably made it up because they couldn't pronounce Muhammad Jolly.
Or I stand for Jolly.
Yeah, I stand for, maybe he was his granddad. I don't know. But, you know, and the funny thing is when they discontinued the program. They just turned the camels out.
I know.
One guy kept a camel for a long time, but they were seeing camels in the Mojave Desert for a long time.
Hey,
can you imagine some old guy from Oklahoma going to the Dust Bowl, coming west, you know, and he's out there and he comes through this dust storm, and out of the dust, here comes a camel. He'd turn around and go back to Oklahoma.
And they also appeared on an episode of High Chaparral.
Yes, they did. In fact, Henry Wills wrote that episode. It was Stinky Flanagan.
Oh, that was a great episode,
it was,
too.
With one of the greatest impersonators of all time, Frank Gorshin.
Yes.
Not female time. Impersonators, you dirty-minded people, but actor impersonators. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clear that up right off the bat.
Right, sir.
I want to straighten these people out. Okay, now, May 15th, 1862, Abraham Lincoln, our illustrious president, establishes the Department of Agriculture through the Morrill Act that allows for the creation of land-grant colleges, much like the U of A today, which needs to be re-granted because that is a missing can of worms.
Yeah, the land grants would include like Texas A&M, University of El Paso at Texas.
New Mexico A&M, Oklahoma A&M.
Any of the A&M, agriculture and mining.
And you know the funny thing is that the way it was set up was it was supposed to be free education.
Hmm.
Try and, you know, you got your mom and dad has to mortgage the ranch to get you in there now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just if you're local.
Yeah.
Okay, now this one today.
This is important.
This is May 16th. Now, it's as important today as it was in 2012, because in 2012, May 16th, World Whiskey Day was founded, and it always falls on the third Saturday in May, and they request that participants are encouraged to drink whiskey on this day.
Todd, are you there?
I drink whiskey every day.
I do, too.
Every day is whiskey day.
I don't need, some voice from above telling me I can drink whiskey or when I can't drink whiskey.
Yeah, don't need a holiday for it.
No, but see, this is important because this is the day when you get all your friends together. And even the teetotalers, and you drink whiskey, and if they don't drink whiskey, you drink it in front of them.
Oh, I love it.
And smack your lips.
I love it.
It's a great deal.
Well, I usually, I find it a lot easier if I spend some time with some of my family members. I have to drink whiskey.
Well, that's what made me.
It prompts me to drink more whiskey than normal.
And not only that, but when Todd and I are together, we also smoke cigars while drinking whiskey.
You should have a whiskey and cigar.
Drinking whiskey.
Well, we got National Day of the Cowboy. We got National Day of the Whiskey. I think that's important. We need days that celebrate
America.
It's
also important to remember that bourbon is the official spirit of this country.
That's right.
LBJ made it so in 1965.
Right. Yep.
And when I was a kid in Los Angeles watching, the Million Dollar Movie, which would come on, on Channel 9. These are all local stations, not 5, 9, 11, or 13. And I'd watch the Million Dollar Movie, and it usually was a Bogart, and he would drink some bourbon.
Oh,
so
when
I was young, I was walking around going, I'm going to drink bourbon when I get older. And my mother would look at me and say, excuse me? What are you talking about? You don't even know what drinking is.
See Lynn saying those things.
He also influenced me that I really, really wanted to have a Colt 1911.
There you go.
That he and Bogart influenced me a lot.
Big time.
A lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not in the
best, healthiest ways, but
who cares?
I'm definitely happier for it. I'll tell you that much.
As a little kid at the breakfast table drinking his morning milk out of a shot glass. Can I have another shot of milk, Bob?
I once So we had a exchange student who was a nanny for us one summer. She was a nice gal. She was a little rigid. She was either from Norway or Germany or something. And she made pancakes for me one morning, and a bubble developed on the edge of the pancake, and burnt. It burnt and it burst. And she brought it to me, and I wouldn't eat it. And she said, "What's the matter with you? Why won't you eat that pancake?" And I said, "I don't eat fat. I thought there was fat on my pancake." She was a little irritated with me, but by no means anywhere near as irritated as my mother was.
I'm sure.
This went around the family for years. Yeah. They always, you're the same, you know, whenever I'd say something that somebody thought was a little nuts, they'd say, "You're the same guy who thought it was fat on a pancake."
I'm glad you told us that.
You're not going to live it down from now on.
It might have been fat.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is the other thing, too. You know, back then, you know, Dashiell Hammett, Raymond Chandler, all their hard-boiled detectives drank rye.
Yep. And, you know, it's hard to find a good rye these days.
Yeah, they still make old Overall. You told me about a new one that they come out with.
There's some good rye out there, and I can't remember the one that I told you about, but Bullet
makes a rye.
Bullet makes a fine rye, you know, yeah.
That's good whiskey. Okay, now, May 17, 1875. And today, this is very appropriate because today they're running the Preakness. But in that date, in 1875, the first Kentucky Derby is run at Churchill Downs. Hmm. It's won by Aristides, a three-year-old thoroughbred ridden by Oliver Lewis, a black gentleman. The pair won by a reported two lengths, setting a new American record for the mile and a quarter half.
So this was 1875, right?
Right.
Did they have photo finish at that time?
No.
No, because photo finish was invented where?
Rialto.
But they didn't have it for that purpose at that time, did they?
Well, no, actually, they had it before then, but it was a guy with a brownie standing there at the finish line.
And he had to get out of the way most of the time.
Okay, May 18th, 1928. I like this one because I've always enjoyed this gentleman's acting. I thought he was the best thing on the show. Purnell Evan Roberts Jr.
Oh, yeah.
He was a stage, film, television actor, a singer, best known as Adam Cartwright.
How much have you had to drink today, Bunker?
I haven't had enough, apparently. The eldest son on Bonanza from 1959 to 1965, and he was also Chief Surgeon John McIntyre on Trapper John, M.D., '79 to '86, and he was actually on that a year longer than he was on Bonanza.
Wow.
And he enjoyed doing that one because it wasn't all the bullshit. Also, he also guest starred on more than 60 TV series, and I saw him in a bunch of those, and the guy was always good.
He was also in a lot of Mission Impossibles.
Oh, and his first co-starring war with Randolph Scott, Jim Best.
James Best?
Yeah.
Randolph Scott.
James Best and James Coburn.
And Coburn,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, give us
is
the name
of it. The Hanging Tree?
No. Hanging Tree is Gary Cooper. Something like that, though. That's what.
Anyway.
Anyhow, that was a good movie.
Lee Van Cleef plays James Best's older brother.
Yes, he does. Mm. Yeah, he was evil. And yeah, well, he raped and murdered Randolph Scott's wife, which is why he wanted to take him to justice.
There you go.
Anyhow, we're going to finish up this glorious week of fun and adventure and true fact history. May 19th, 1535, French explorer Jacques Cartier, first European to describe and map the Gulf and shores of the St. Lawrence River. Mm-hmm. He also was the first to name the region and its inhabitants, the first to document the name Canada, derived from the Huron-Iroquois word Kanata, or village.
Hey.
So, but it was really, you know, in other words, you know, they used to, he said, where are we?
Hey.
Renata.
He says, oh, okay, we're in Canada.
Hey.
And he said, no, we're in the village.
Hey.
Dummy, rich dummy.
Hey. I can't help it.
That's
so
it.
Sorry.
That's the history as it was.
By golly.
And forever will be.
And thank God for that. We got to do our first commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West because we have just been silly.
Inundated with history.
You know, just plain old silly. We'll be back with much more right after these important messages. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. It's Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. We'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and a hacienda. That's a five-bedroom, three-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms. But you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away, it'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
Hey, you, give me another drink before the fight starts.
Say, wait a minute. When is this fight going to start?
When you find out I can't pay for these drinks.
This is the Voices of the West.
My John B. Stetson was my only friend. And we have stuck together through many a woman. So if it's her you want, I don't care. Girl, but don't touch me.
Mr. Roberts, that is for you, sir.
Enjoy, sir.
Yeah, the great Lyle Lovett, man. All righty. Well, there he is.
Ride Lonesome.
Yeah.
Randolph Scott.
That's it.
Brunel Roberts.
Yeah.
James Coburn.
Yeah.
Lee Van Cleef. And, of course, Karen Steele. Hubba, hubba, hubba.
Hey.
Hubba, hubba.
Man, you know.
And written by
and
Burt
written
Kennedy.
By Bud
directed by Bud Bediger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Via Bud Bedeker and Burt Kennedy. Yes, indeed.
And Gary Joe Brown.
James Coburn's first film.
Yeah. Was it really?
First starring role.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Or
interesting.
Leading role, whatever.
All right.
That's a good movie. It's
all right,
good.
So we really don't have
damn
any...
Damn good.
We don't really have any kind of particular topic today, but you know, I'm going to throw one out here for you guys.
Throw up on us.
I'm going to throw one out for you. If you could go back in time and have a particular actor, director,
you'd ask me
stunt,
this Friday. Oh, I'm sorry.
Hush. Or stuntman or whatever.
Craft service.
Craft service. on Voices. Craft Service. I want Craft Service on Voices of the West. Who would it be? Who would be your topic?
Call us and tell us.
Who would you want to be on the show to talk to? Todd Roberts?
Well, I would say to you that unequivocally it would be John Ford, but he wouldn't talk to me. if you ever watched the interview that Peter Bogdanovich did with him
yes.
for the AFI Film Institute yeah. Lifetime Achievement Award, the interview, I won't go through the whole interview, I'll just pose one little part of it. Bogdanovich asks Ford, so how did you make this movie? With a camera. being that that I know that, I would then say to you, I would probably tell you that I would want to go back and it's probably Orson Welles.
Okay.
Or Jean-Pierre Melville.
Okay.
It's one of those two. I know they didn't make any Westerns.
Yeah.
You ask me honestly, I'll tell you honestly.
Well, and Bunker suggested also when I asked him this question a couple of days ago, he suggested John Ford. But
he'd talk to me.
Well, I don't know if he'd talk to you or not, but my choice would be Johnny Mack Brown,
okay.
The pride of Dothan, Alabama. Hey, I'm telling you, man, that guy is just...
Rose Bowl.
That guy is just so good.
Trick artist with a gun.
He can ride, he can do the stunts, he could do everything, was in the best Billy the Kid movie ever.
Well, you know, seeing as how we disqualified John Ford, I would say D.W. Griffith.
That'd be an interesting one.
Because one...
Well, definitely. That's a great suggestion.
Yeah, because, you know, see, he innovated so much stuff, but he also made, you know, the run-of-the-mill pedestrian films of the day, but he did them successfully. And the other thing is he hired John Ford, but mainly, more than anything else, because he made Birth of a Nation, because I think that film is so important, not just because of the history it portrayed,
right.
but also for the controversy that it's created.
Correct.
Because so many people, because of that movie, have closed minds. They will They will not accept anything about the movie. They don't understand that you can learn from it,
yeah.
that the movie itself was based on a book that was a bestseller of its day.
Yep.
On a play that was a hit play that ran forever.
Yep.
And that the movie, when it came out, was a monster movie. Everybody
yep.
went to see it because
yep.
it reflected
well,
them.
Yeah. Todd?
So, I just had a discussion about this, about Birth of a Nation. And the person I was chatting with proposed the question to me is Birth of a Nation a racist film? And I said, well, this is a very complicated answer because it's an even more complicated question. Is it racist? Yes. Is Griffith... did he intend on making a racist film? No. From his perspective, he took, as you said, Bunker, a novel, and he filled it up with all the stories that he heard from his father and his father's friends as a young boy on the porch of their house, telling Civil War stories as they fought in the Confederacy.
Yeah.
And that he heard growing up as a boy. Then after the Civil War. So he was just retelling the stories he had heard but had made a huge impression on him.
But does that
now,
make...
Now, the result of it is, it is racist. It is.
Really? But you think?
I'm sorry.
But yeah, you're right.
Well, it's not in his intention. It's okay. Not his intention.
Okay.
Well, okay.
But it in its result, you know, as my parents used to say to us, when we do something wrong, you know, and we'd apologize, I'm sorry. And, you know, my parents would say, no, you're not sorry. If you were sorry, you wouldn't have done it. Now, if you want to apologize, we'll accept your apology.
Yeah. Okay.
But don't say to us, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Because you're not sorry. If you are sorry, it's only that you got caught and you're now in trouble.
Ah,
okay,
so
first of
my
all.
Dad would say, let me use this example.
Uh-huh.
If I hit you in the head with a frying pan, who's sorry?
Uh-huh.
You're sorry because you got hit in the frying pan. If I hit you in the head with a frying pan, I'm not sorry. Because if I was sorry, I wouldn't have done it
right.
In the first place.
Yeah.
So he didn't go into it with, I'm going to make a film that is racist. Now, is it racist? Sure.
No.
It glorifies the Klan. It shows black Americans in a horrible light. And it also, the other reason I say that it's racist is because he doesn't include all the other parts of the story of that period of time in this country.
Okay.
So if you're
going to
tell the story one way, you got to tell both sides.
No, you don't.
And he didn't because, yeah, you do. If you want to be fair and you don't want to end up making a racist movie.
Okay.
Now, don't get me wrong.
No,
I think this film is a tremendous film.
Wait a minute. Let him finish.
Hold on.
Because he's repeating the same argument.
No, I've got to say that... No, well, you get to make your argument when I'm finished. Quickly, I'll finish. Basically, I've always said this is a tremendous film. It is one of those films that is truly shifted the entire paradigm of filmmaking. It laid the standard between this and Intolerance for the entire movie industry as we know it today.
Mm-hmm.
Every time a filmmaker makes a film, they are stealing from Griffith.
Mm-hmm.
On multi levels. So, from that, the technique and his design, impeccable. But from my perspective, it ends up in a, you know, and I agree with you, Harry, when you say all the time, because I say it myself, you got to look at it with the eyes of someone in
yeah.
that period of time.
Right.
That's important to do. But I've said this many times to friends who are, you know, look at the Civil War as the war of Northern aggression, or however they want to phrase it. And I say, bottom line, slavery is wrong, period, no matter how you want to phrase it, no matter who else did it, no matter who else says it's okay, or whatever countries are doing it. To own another person's soul is wrong,
mm-hmm.
whether you want to go to the Bible or the Torah or
mm-hmm.
the history of any country, or how would you feel being owned?
Right.
That's always the question I would
sure.
have asked anybody if I could have gone back in time.
Okay.
To the slave owner who said that,
I thought you were going to keep it.
How
brief.
Do you feel being owned?
All right, let's let Bunker respond.
First of all, I'm not going to be able to respond as eloquently as you have, and I'll be much more brief. But here's the thing. There's no need for anybody to apologize for this film then. When we look at stuff from today's eyes, today's perspective, yeah, it's as racist as probably people believe it is. But at the time it was made, it was not made as a racist film. Did racism exist then? Yes, it did. But again, it was not in the mind or the psyche of the people of that time. It was what they were, and it is a reflection of what they were, who they were, and when they were.
How about Song of the South or Uncle Tom's Cabin?
Oh yeah, the song with Uncle Remus.
Yeah.
Now that a beautiful, classic, wonderful film for kids, And the reason it's blackballed is because the hero is a black man, a slave. Well, you know, guess what? So was Tom. So was the, what's his name, and Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry.
Yeah,
and,
right, right.
You know, they want, people want to erase reality and bring back a Shirley Temple riding a freaking what's those horses? Unicorn.
Yeah,
with
right.
Rainbows dropping beautiful gold flowers.
Yeah, yeah. They want a Wizard of Oz.
There is a reality to the world, and if you can't face reality, then you can just go around and call people racist and bigots and Nazis.
All right.
And that's for people with weak thinking.
Okay, I can agree with both of those positions.
Bunker, you and I agree on many points here, and I would say to you that using your paradigm, you know, the Ten Commandments could be looked at as racist.
It is.
Or the characters were racist.
All the scripture is racist, but you know what? That's in other people's eyes. That's not my eyes.
It's racist.
It's racist if you want it to be racist. That's all racism. Racism is somebody wanting to be able to put their opinion on you and to take any of your right to respond away from you because you're not agreeing with them. There's no lockstep.
Well,
racism is about lockstep.
Well, you know, I've always was taught that racism is judging someone based on what they are as opposed to who they are.
Yeah.
And
that's
unfortunately,
that is, racism is prejudice.
It is.
Let's get rid of racism. Let's just talk about prejudice.
Let's get out of it.
Well,
let's get out of it.
What's your second favorite movie, Todd?
My
second favorite person you'd like to talk to.
The second favorite person I would love to talk to is Harry Carey.
Ooh, that would be cool.
I think that man is just absolutely in freaking credible.
Yes, he is.
What he did for Native Americans, the Navajo especially, and what he just plain what he did.
And he went from being very successful and rich to getting wiped out in a flood and becoming very successful and rich again.
You know, that's a guy I would love to interview.
See, that's the old people. That's the kind of people that made America, and you can't find them anymore.
No, you can't. And that's the issue. We can't find those kinds of folk very rarely. Very rarely can we find those kind of folk.
And we've had some of them on the show.
We've had.
Indeed, we have. That's one good point.
No question about that.
Todd has found them. Thank you, Todd.
We've had many of folk on this program who embody that. But, I mean, Harry Carey, my God, what a great actor. Worked with John Ford, raised a good son, had a great wife, Olive. I mean, you know, come on.
She was a young girl. She was so
gorgeous. She was hot.
God, she's one of the hottest women I ever saw.
Anyway,
sorry, Harry, don't shoot me now.
I know.
I'm hitting on your wife.
So I'm going past where we're supposed to go, so we need to do another break.
Okay.
And then we'll find out who else we should look at interviewing. After these important messages here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker DeFrance, Todd Roberts with you. We'll be right back.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
All right, brothers, where's the bank money?
What bank money?
One move that doesn't set right with me and I'll kill you.
This is the Voices of the West.
Back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander Bunker to France. Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. We have no particular topic to talk about today, but by golly, we're lighting up the phones.
No, we're lighting up everything.
I don't know what
I
the hell we're lighting
down
up.
Harry's kitchen.
Yeah, we're lighting up stuff. I don't know what. But anyway, we're just having some fun here, folks. Yeah. And that's...
Ignore our BS.
That's because we're pissed off about being kicked off Facebook.
We are.
And you
we're
know,
taking it out on Todd.
No, we're not taking it out on Todd.
Oh, we're not?
No.
I can't?
No. It's not Todd's fault.
I'm depressed now.
And it's not Todd's fault. It's somebody in Los Angeles' fault,
yes,
but not Todd's.
That's true. Well, let's make up the let Todd have his second choice.
Since that's where Meta is headquartered.
Mm. Oh,
anyway,
I don't even know where they're headquartered.
I know.
I've never met Meta.
Yeah, it's somewhere in Los Angeles.
Actually, I did meet Meta. Meta was it Rope? She was personal assistant and partner with James Garner.
Yeah, you used to date her.
No, I never dated her. Meta Roseberg. She was a script clerk, and she became a very successful producer.
Anyway.
Produced Nichols. Go ahead, Todd.
It's a bunch of BS today on this edition of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. And, Todd, who else would you like to interview from the past?
Don't mention me.
We all want to interview Bunker to France.
Nobody does.
Oh, golly, who do I want to interview?
Bunker to France.
Gloria Swanson, I know. It's got to be Gloria Swanson.
No, not Gloria Swanson. Jeez, Louise. Clark Gable.
Oh, nice
Clark
one.
Gable.
That's a nice one.
Because I was in his house, and I grew up with his son, and... it's weird when I think back that, neither one of us ever met him.
Hmm.
He was his son, and he didn't meet him. He was born 6 months after he died.
Wow.
And we were in that house together. So we both kind of had this relationship with a ghost in a way that neither of us ever got to talk to. Obviously, he had a lot more connection to him.
Sure.
Biologically, but also he heard a lot of stories from his mother.
Was that in the Tucson house or elsewhere?
No, that was in Encino,
okay.
California.
Okay.
Which was about a 25-acre ranch or so up in the hills, south of Ventura Boulevard. The house now is, I believe, after she sold it, somebody bought the land. The house stayed the same. They had, half an acre. The rest of the acres got cut up, and they built, somebody built an English Tudor on one of those lots, and that house turned into the house that the Jackson 5 lived in when they hit it big here in L.A.
Wow.
And, this was so long ago that when he and I I went over to spend the weekend with him. I brought my bicycle, and his mother said, "Okay, you guys need to go to church today." And of course, I didn't say anything. I did what I was told. And
right.
So she gave us both like a dollar, and we were driving down there. He gave us a dollar to put into the collection, the collection plate or whatever, and we walked in. We stood there, and I thought we were going to go sit down, and he just said, "Come on!" And we turned around and walked out. And I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "We're going to the candy store." Mm-hmm. I said, "Well, your mom said." He goes, "What she won't know won't hurt her."
Yeah, there you go.
And we went and bought candy, and we ate it all, and then we came back home and so forth. But a mother giving you a dollar,
yeah,
that was more than enough to go
sure.
to church with,
yeah,
and put it in the collection plate.
For sure.
It was just an interesting thing to walk around that house. His office was decorated with all these photographs of him on the set of Mogambo.
Wow.
All these black and white photographs with him, with Native Africans and other cast members. And his Mercedes was still in the garage.
Hmm.
And his Oscar was on the mantle. It was like being... it was like walking around a haunted house.
Wow.
It is.
People lived there, and they were alive, and they were living their lives and doing their thing.
Oh, cool.
But it was like, wow. And I knew who he was because I used to watch all these old movies on television.
Sure.
But it fascinated me that,
yeah,
like, you know, this guy I see on television used to live here. Wow.
Bunker,
it was really interesting.
Bunker de France, who do you want to interview from the past?
Oh, that's really simple there.
No, it's not.
Well, for me it is.
Okay.
Yakima Canuck.
There you
now,
go.
Is that not simple?
Hey,
oh,
I got a picture of Bunker and Yak up here on my desk. And my God, Bunker, you must be 25?
Like 40-something.
You're under 30, I think.
40-something.
No, I think you're under 30.
I was in my 35 when I moved to California.
Anyway.
I know how old I was.
Okay.
Barry. I was there.
Anyway, you don't look that.
Yeah.
But Bunker is, it's in a shot with Yak, and my God. And I forget who the other person was that was on that photo.
Oh, yeah. He was a rodeo promoter. He was. He worked a lot of movies.
So what was it like meeting Yak?
Well, it's like it would probably be like meeting John Ford in a way, to for guys in the stunt community. And the funny thing is, the first time that I met him, this other friend of mine, Chuck Duncan, he knew Yak and we got along real good. And he says, "I'm having coffee with Yak over at this one cafe over in Sherman Oaks. You want to join us?" And I said, "Oh, hell yeah." So I went over there. And somehow or another, this other kid had either gotten wind of it or got an invitation. So we're sitting there at the table and we're starting to talk. And the first thing the kid does is he starts talking about movies. And the more he's talking, the more you can see Yak just shutting down.
Yeah, closing up. Yeah.
I got to stop this. I said, "Hey."
Yeah.
I said, "Yak, you won the Roosevelt Trophy." I said, you won all of the great titles in
sure.
rodeo.
Yeah.
I said, what was it, because I know you grew up on, I said, "Your Sioux joined us."
Yeah. For a very quick moment.
A quick mosey moment. Oh.
And it's over.
Well, it was. Thank you for gracing our show.
We appreciate that.
And she took a bow.
Wiping the credit.
Get credit.
It was because he had been talking about stunts for 50 years by
sure.
then.
Yeah.
So, he had all the stunts. And I think all the guys, you know, they knew what he had done. That's one of the reasons we all kind of almost worshiped the ground he worked on.
Sure.
And but this guy, and fortunately, the guy shut up. And so we had a great thing. And then he lived a couple, I'd say maybe a mile from where I was living in Victor French's guest house, mm-hmm. on Riverside Drive. And I used to go by there all the time, and I'd pull in once in a while, say hi. But I was driving by, this is a great story. I was driving by one day, and his wife was having a yard sale. And he was out there watering, which he was always out there watering. I think that was to get out of the house. But, you know, I pull in, and I can tell he's not happy. He's not happy with all these people trapsing up and down this thing. Anyhow, I went over and I looked at some stuff, and I come back by, and we're talking. And this lady and her young boy come walking by, and I see him looking at him, and I go, "Yak, I know what you're thinking." He says, "What am I thinking?" I said, "You want to squirt him, don't you?" He says, "Oh," he says, "I would love to." But, you know, he didn't say a lot, but what he said, you know, it carried weight. And talking about, you know, just listening to him talk about rodeo was education in itself.
I'm sure.
I wish I'd been able to record it in some way or another. All those things that I sat in on, all these guys that, you know, guys that were heroes and mentors to me. And with my squirrely memory, you know, it's like, you know, yeah, it happened, I think. But that's my number two choice.
All righty then. We got to finish up and take our last commercial break. Here on Amo Franzi's Voices of the West, it's Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. We got no topic, but that's okay. We're still talking at you. We'll be back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, pipe stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
Why, those old enemy, Prickly Jack, come to nervous elk.
It's Cactus Jack. Cactus Jack Slade.
This is the Voices of the West.
Life is like a mountain railway with an engineer that's brave. You must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave.
Hey, nothing wrong with some good old gospel music, eh?
From the cradle to the grave.
You know, amazing rhythm aces there. Life's like a railway. And welcome back to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. Today's topic, we have no clue what it
we
is.
Had a quasi topic.
we've done a bunch of stuff.
Who would you like to meet? Topic.
That I think that's a great topic.
We could repeat this one.
I would also like to meet Nervous Elk.
I want to meet Ruth Busby.
God. Man, what a
we need to do a show with who we don't want to meet.
what a great character Nervous Elk was.
Yeah.
Paul Lynn.
One of the most vicious, ferocious Indian war chiefs of
God.
All time.
He ranks right up there with Ted DiCorsia.
Oh, DiCorsia can't even touch him. Nobody. You know, Fred DiCova, you know, was probably Indians than anybody.
Yeah, I know.
You can't touch him. You can't. Nobody. Even Jay Silverheels is in his shadow.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. You know, who did we watch last night? The Cisco movie that we watched last night. I think Jay Silverheels was in it, but I didn't see the credits enough to.
Well, he did some little bit things. He played Mexicans.
Yeah. Well, and
he did
everything
to play white men. Why
he was an Indian.
He was a Mohawk. Iroquois Mohawk. Never saw him be
Chinese. We never saw him be Chinese.
Who?
We never saw Jay Silverheels be Chinese.
Oh, you never saw a Chinese.
How you go?
Oh. Now that's
all right. Now we're being racist.
That's poor taste. I like, but I don't like work. That's crude frat boy humor. And
you know,
right up your alley.
Now we're being racist, and yes, we are.
It's excusable because we're not bright.
No. I'm not even going to get into it because we don't have enough time to get into it.
We'll save that for another show.
Let's see. Who else? Todd, who else would you like to meet? You got about a minute and a half.
You can only talk to him for a minute.
James Wong Howe.
Who?
Great cinematographer. Just really, really. I mean, you know, of course, great cinematic composers as well. Dmitry Tiomkin, Franz Waxman, Bernard Herrmann, and all those guys. But you know, Howe just he did something that was very unique. His pictures are different. You know, his cinematography is different.
Yeah, I have a James Wong Howe story.
You do? Quickly.
Well, let's hear it.
Quickly.
We were doing The Outrage, and Paul Fix was playing the Indian medicine man, and they've asked him to testify, and of course he has to go into a mystic trance.
Mm-hmm.
So they're... I'm trying to remember the director, but anyhow, the Wong says, I've got an idea. he calls the cameraman over. He says, bring me one of the lens we're going to be using. They bring the lens over. From out of nowhere, he has a bottle of Vaseline.
Oh, no.
And he rubs the Vaseline around the perimeter of the lens, and he's going to put it in there. So when they shoot it, and he's looking up at the sun, there's the sun and the bright sky, but there's this weird kind of halo.
Oh, cool.
And this is the very first time I'd ever worked on a movie. I mean, I was dumber than a mud fence, and I was just standing there going, that is the most creative thing I've ever seen in my life. That's my Wong Howe story.
All right, fellas.
Pretty good.
Fellas, we're pretty much, we are out of freaking time here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. I guess we'll be back next week.
Who knows at this
point? Okay.
Hey, my radio place has not kicked us off, so we're still good. We're still on Instagram.
We may be Braille next time you hear us.
The Braille. I love it. I love it. Braille Westerns.
How about a cannon and some string?
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Mini strings.
And if necessary, I'll bring out my damn cannon and shoot it.
And semaphores and smoke signals.
There you go.
Hey, multimedia.
Todd, thank you so much. Bunker, thank you so much. Oh. That's it for this edition of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.
78, 79, 80 O's, all you people we like to meet.
Thanks a lot, fellas. And folks, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.